The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 187. Excited to have Dr. Ian McEwen with us today. Ian is the head of athletic development for Port Adelaide Football Club in Australia. He's a guy that I've gotten to get to know over the years and just respect thoroughly. If you remember having David Tenney on the show, who I think is one of the best when it comes to the use of technology and the high performance model and all those types of things, he pointed specifically to Port Adelaide as the example. And so I've followed him since that moment and just very impressed with what they do. We talk a lot about that today on the show. We talk about their high performance model with Mr. Burgess and their entire team. We talk about their screening and diagnostic program that they use, what they're doing during their reset period, which is what they're in right now. And so we get into a lot of stuff. I know you're going to enjoy this episode. Before we do, though, I want to make sure we recognize Ignition APG as a sponsor for this episode. This is the last episode that Ignition will be a part of the show. In 2017, we changed up our sponsorship strategy or structure a little bit different, and even though they're not a sponsor, they're somebody that, you know, just like with any of our sponsors, somebody that I've used, somebody that has been a part of my development, somebody that I respect, they wouldn't be on the show without it. And so I'd highly encourage you that if you're looking for a speed certification, they got their strength system coming out. If you have athletes that are, you know, going on to do combine prep, I wholeheartedly recommend Ignition. And, you know, the guys there, Cliff and everybody, they're fantastic people. They're doing it the right way. And as much as I hate that they're not involved in 2017, very excited for them and the projects that they got coming about and things along those lines. So make sure to check them out. Follow them on social media. They're always doing some inspiring things. And just appreciate them being a part of the show for as many years as they have been. Want to get to this episode with Dr. McEwen. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys. Welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Super excited to have Dr. Ian McEwen from Port Adelaide FC Football Club over there and affectionately known as Mackers. And as a Coach Mac, from one Coach Mac to a Coach Mackers, man, I'm fired up to have you on the show, brother.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure to be on. Thanks very much for having me.
You know, Ian's up bright and early. I think it's 5:30 over there, if I'm not mistaken. And he's got to get to work and all that. So the show won't be as long as normal. But, man, we really appreciate you getting up early and joining us and in the middle of preseason right now and in the middle of the grind. And so we know how that goes, man. But, hey, for the people that don't know you as well, just Reader's Digest version, kind of take us all the way back to Northern Ireland days and kind of what got you into strength and conditioning and then what's led you to Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I'll try my best to keep it to the Reader's Digest version. As you said, it's been a pretty long journey for me, even if you just count the miles I've traveled. I'm currently in Australia, but obviously originally from Northern Ireland, from a sleepy little town in County Down. I worked my way through, you know, the usual. I did my undergrad back home, and I just happened to be around when I was doing my undergrad was whenever the Sports Institute started to set up. So the concept of strength and conditioning and high performance sport was just sort of introduced to Northern Ireland and to the sports around there. So I was able to get in at the very developmental age. for a lot of sports. So a lot of, as I was learning, the sports were learning too. So it actually gave us, we could all make mistakes at the same time. So that was actually a really, really nice thing, a nice thing for me. I think that, in terms of what got me into strength and conditioning, I did the tired S&C coach journey, didn't quite make it as an athlete, but got into how things worked, and it really made things click. And I think it was when Nathan Parham was on a few weeks ago, and he said, he's a bit of a rat bag, and then everything sort of clicked whenever he started to think about biology and physics and stuff in terms of sport. And I must admit, it did ring true. I sent him a text after I listened to him, saying it was pretty much the same thing for me. Muddled my way through school, just wanted to play sport and just have fun, and then sort of grew up pretty quickly after that. And once things clicked in terms of how the world worked and how I can relate that back to making humans better, I did all the there's many coaching badges, just coached everybody. So rather than just strength and conditioning, just anything. So I was, field hockey, badminton, cricket, rugby, whatever the sport was, I was more than happy to help people, and particularly, young kids out, and just take them through summer schemes and like sports camps and stuff like that. And that's probably where I cut my teeth in terms of coaching, planning sessions, coordinating groups, making sure that other staff are in the right places, making sure you could be responsible for, young boys and girls. That was a big deal whenever you're, 18, 19. And then worked my way through the strength and conditioning and Sports Institute in Northern Ireland, where I got some fantastic opportunities. And just by the war of attrition, really, I ended up stumbling my way into the head of department way too early. I felt I had so much to learn as a coach, never mind try and manage other people and teach them how to coach. I felt I wasn't quite ready for that. I embraced it at the time, but I felt like, if I wanted to make my mark, I had to go and become a world's best coach before I could come back and manage anybody else. So, I was lucky enough to get a PhD scholarship at the Australian Institute of Sport in Canberra. So that was the big jump, the life defining moment, getting on that plane and resetting and restarting again. So the beauty of what I was able to do and how fortunate I was with the people, not only with the amazing networks and the system that they set up down here, but it meant that as I was doing my PhD, I was also coaching full time across a multitude of sports and a multitude of levels. So there's not a black hole in my CV, I guess, where people go and do a PhD and they kind of, they battle the way through. I was actually a lead coach on a lot of sports, in national sports as well as just state organized sports as well. So that was a really big plus for me, and that really set up my positions at Port Adelaide. So at the end of my PhD, I just happened to be perfect timing. Darren Burgess was coming back home from Liverpool, I just rode that wave ever since, to be honest. So so things that, I think I've been, this is my fifth preseason there now. So things are great. We've had our challenges for sure, but we're in a real good position professionally with the club, and I couldn't love Adelaide more. We love it down here. It's been a real nice change from Canberra. If anyone's been to Canberra, they know it's a little bit sleepy. It's not quite as crazy as Melbourne and Sydney, but it's probably a nice balance for us as well. So hopefully it's a bit long, but hopefully that gets to the gist of it.
No, that's awesome. And I think that's, that's one of the reasons why I asked that question, because there's so much, like you mentioned with Nate Parham, so much that we can glean from each other, and just, we all walk kind of a similar path and we can relate to each other's journey. So whether or not that's, you weren't maybe the person you wanted to be before you found strength and conditioning and you got into it and found, your calling, or people can identify with the struggles of bouncing between jobs, or or whether or not that's, you know, you taking the risk and getting on a plane and going and kind of resetting or restarting. That's all. Those are all things that every strength coach that comes on the show can identify with in some capacity, you know, and
right.
I think it's what right. connects us, you know, whether or not it's across the world, you know, multiple time zones away or you know, just right down the street. I think it's one of the things that's cool. I think there's a lot of things I wanted to pull out of there. I mean, one being, one thing you said with your time in Ireland, you know, and this was my time with South Florida was, you know, I kind of grew up with the program, you know, that was a 1AA mm-hmm. program that kind of went to, you know, transitioned to 1A and rankings and all that. And you kind of grew up with Ireland's program. And I think as young coaches out there, if you can find those opportunities, and to me, that opportunity really exists in high schools right now, you know, where mm-hmm. there's not a lot of strength coaches, you know, find opportunities where you can grow up with a place, because it's so important to develop all three of those areas, that technician, you know, being the world's best coach, like you talked about, but also being that manager and that entrepreneur, I think is important as well. And, you know, we're excited, man. We're going to Ireland for a play mm-hmm. summit this mm-hmm. year. I think I told Brilliant. You that, but we're going there in June. So we're going to have
yeah,
some
you'll
fun.
Love yeah, but, you'll love it. Yeah, you'll love it.
But hey, man, you know, along that journey, there's lots of opportunities, and we all make mistakes every single day. But what's been maybe the biggest mistake that you've made along that long journey there, and how you learn from it?
I think you know, looking back on it, and I don't mind reflecting. If anyone knows me, they'll know I'll do it quite a bit. There's probably plenty of mistakes, so many mistakes, and it's probably, you know, people ask, you know, what would you change or whatever, and to be honest, if I changed it, then I wouldn't be where I am today. So I'm too scared to change things, but I feel like, you know, by making those mistakes and reflecting, it's probably been the, you know, made me who I am. I think, you know, from a technical point of view, probably being, you know, too darn, you know, as everyone learns, you know, that they I'm an Olympic lifting guy, and then I'm a movement guy, and then now I'm kind of right in the middle of right. everything, and just use the tools as they should be used. And you know, you learn that, or you get told that as a kid, as a young That's coach, right. but you kind of never really believe it until you get into it. So right. that's probably, you know, from a technical point of view, you know, you do have to, you know, you have to do everything that Mike Boyle says, and then you got to do everything that the Olympic lifting guy says, and then you got to do everything that, you know, you know, T-Nation says, and then you got to kind of meet in right. the middle and then find out what works for who you're working with at that time. As you're learning, you know, the methods yourself, you know, as well as, you know, how they apply to your athletes or your clients or, you know, the people that you're working with, you know, that's probably one of the mistakes I think. It's an easy answer, I know, because right. everyone cringes at what they used to do, but I think, you know, I think it's, someone way smarter than me once said, you know, you can have 20 years of experience of the same thing 20 times, or you can, you know, have 20 years of different experiences as you evolve. And I want to be that guy that's
sure
it's evolved it's every year rather than just churning out the same stuff every year. I think that's a, you know, that's hopefully where I'm at, and hopefully that's something that I leave behind in my legacy.
That's great. I think that's why I always say that I'm a principle-based strength coach, not a philosophy-based strength coach. So I can find something to learn from every single person I come in contact with. And you never know. You never know the situation that you're going to be in, and what tool you're going to need to address the situation.
Absolutely. And that's the, you know, everyone gets, you know, they have their opinions and they get so dismissive, particularly in strength and conditioning, which is obviously very egocentric, you know, dominated profession. You know, as soon as you don't agree with someone, you give them a whack rather than just taking a step back and maybe That's learning right. what actually are they, you know, they're not stupid, you know, they're doing something for a reason, you know, maybe we should learn it. But
right.
yeah, it's too easy just to sit there and take pot shots sometimes, and you know, for sure it can be a little bit fun sometimes, but it's not the way we should be.
Right. Well, I think one of the things that, you know, that I've always known about you, and then, you know, guys like Dave Tenney, Echo, and Brett Bartholomew, Echo, I mean, you know, you guys are a shining example of how the high performance model should be, and how you guys go about your business, integrating the sports science with the practical application, with the coaching science, and throwing it all together. I mean, I think that's, you know, I mean, obviously you should be very proud of that, and that's something that's a huge
honor for those guys to kind of be saying that type of stuff, you know, but what do you think is it about your program? Because there's a lot of people that are doing it, right? There's a lot of people that are attempting to do it.
Yeah.
What about your situation do you think is different, or what's the magic sauce there?
I think you can go, the first thing you got to say is that you know, Burjo runs he's put together a great ship. So Darren's, you know, he's my boss, and he's the one that leads a lot of, he pulls all the strings, I guess, but, you know, and we work within that. I think there's three things that I always talk about when people ask those questions. I think primarily and the biggest thing is that we've got a playing group that, you know, people can't believe that, like, the way that I talk to them about, you know, whether it's load parameters, whether it's velocities, whether it's, you know, when they see a GPS report, they know every number. Like, they don't even need to look at it on a page. They just need it to be regurgitated to them real time after training. They get so involved in it, and they're a smart bunch. So we don't have to. You know, that then leads into, you know, I don't need to. I'm not a cheerleader. I don't need [S2] Right. [S1] To motivate. I'm telling people why they're doing some. You know, why we're doing some split leg stuff. Why we're doing, okay, well, why are we back squatting? Oh, well, we're doing it for this. All right, okay, no problem. Or new exercises. They understand why we put things together. When we introduce new things, whether it's stuff they don't necessarily like, whether it's different types of stretching, whether it's different running drills, they kind of get it. You know, they want to understand it. Now, sure, there's a few that don't. They just want to play.
Sure.
But for the majority, you know, so like that sort of lays the format. So like if we give them a new piece of technology, or if we want to do certain testing with them and that type of thing, I think that, you know, they just do it. They don't even question it. You know, we've got a lot going on in terms of, you know, we've got PhDs, we've got PhD studies going on, we've got lots of things bubbling along underneath the surface, and they just do it. And that's a big thing. There's no question of that. So probably the biggest thing for and primarily is that we've got a really good playing group, a really well-led playing group that want to be part of the new and the pioneering stuff that we're trying to do.
Right.
I think that, you know, the second thing is the coaching group, you know, the actual sports coaches, the football coaches. They, you know, I've never had to have any sort of discussion around, I want to be able to put this in, and they butt heads. There's been, and that's probably something that Darren does very, very well, is that he puts together a program which appeases everybody. If you know Darren, he's the most affable man and around. Like, you know, everyone loves him. So like he deals with that really, really well from a technical point of view, as well as from a tactical point of view, as well as from a physical point of view. So, you know, we've got a coaching group that support everything we do. And then just the staff members that are around the program, you know, we're all different, but we're all as motivated. There's a lot of similarities between motivation, our drive to succeed, just even the basic stuff like, you know, when we do put new things into a program, we don't let it affect the nuts and bolts of the program. It's still about getting fit as hell. It's about getting as, you know, good as hell out on the field, and then it's about, you know, being as strong as hell and as moving as best as you can. So once everything can't get in the way of that, anything we do has to underpin that and just bubble along. We would talk about it bubbling along, and, you know, if we do submax yo-yos, if we do HRV, if we do jump testing, it's all part of our sessions. It's all, everything we do is programmed as you would any other exercise or any other drill. So that you know, probably ties everything together nicely as well. And then, you know, because we're very fortunate in the level of staff that we do have, the level of dialogue across the group, you know, so we talk about accuracy in on our language, so we can't just say, oh, I think something's trending upwards, or oh, he's got a 5% difference. Well, what does a 5% difference mean? What does a trend mean?
Right.
You know, we have that, you know, bubbling underneath, and people wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't pick up on it if you're listening to us talking in the office, but it, you know, there's a different level there, which is just a professional respect and to what we do, which adds, you know, is another layer to what we do. So I think that's, you know, that's probably the three things which I think are crucial, and some, you know, and we're always trying to develop those.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I want to dig into that a little bit with, you know, obviously you've been, you're in a perfect storm, right? You got a good coaching group, you got great players, you got educated. I always talk about, you know, the difference between the NFL and college sometimes is you got a more informed consumer. You got players that are more in tune with their body and they're wanting to, you know, but you also have those players at that level that they don't want anything to do with it. They don't have any understanding, or they haven't been in a culture that's supported that with the staff and things along those lines. If you were to leave and you were to go to a different program that didn't have those things in place, you know, didn't have a culture in place where it was accepted to wear technology, or didn't have a educated players. I mean, what were some of the things that maybe you and Darren did early, you know, to kind of get those players to a point where they understood that information, or that they were wanting to be a part of that pioneering process?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the trust and the belief. You know, I know it's a little bit trite to say, but you know, they don't know how much you care until you show them. Right. You know, that sort of, you know, and I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Like, as much as we talk about technical mastery and being a great coach, you know, until you really show that you care about them and you actually, you know, want to understand them as humans, and that's something that, you know, Brett talks about all the time, and he does such an eloquent job of talking about it. I think that's probably the first thing. And you know, like if it was just this, and to get to where we are now, like, it's taking us years.
Right.
So there's a slow drip process, and it's just putting things in place that you feel, you know, don't just chase the, you know, it's not an arms race, you know,
right,
which is typically what people talk about it being an arms race. Just be really smart about it. And I guess that, you know, it probably pulls me back to, you know, my early days whenever I was growing up, as the concept of even just professional sport was growing back home. You know, you don't have the money, you don't have the resources, you don't have the skills. You know, you got to be really smart about the purchases you make, the, you know, the technologies you do use, the methods you even use. You know, you got to get the early wins.
Right.
And that, as much as, you know, you want to get build trust and belief, and the only way to do that is show that you're good at what you do as well. So if you can start to just tease that out and take your time. So, you know, one of the things I love doing, and it's sort of spend a lot of my time is developing, you know, the pathways or the long-term model. So not what we're going to do next week, but how does next week affect what we're going to do in a year's time,
right,
in 2 years' time? Can we build and can, you know, because then it gives you just that little bit more freedom to not get stressed about, oh, well, you know, FSU have 500 GPS units. Oh, well, we've got to get 600, or, you know, okay, no worries. Just let them, you know, let them do what they're doing. You know, we know where we're going, and I'm, you know, if you put that process in place and you put that roadmap in place and you believe in it, you can take the hits on the way. You can, you know, you don't need to stress too much about things. And as long as you're continually developing and evolving your program, that's the biggest thing for me. And, you know, if we got rid of all our technology tomorrow and any of the, you know, any of the sexy stuff that we do, I reckon that the biggest thing that will remain would be the trust and the belief that what we do is the most important thing.
Right.
And that's where the, you know, the guys that, you know, that whether it's in sports science, whether it's in from a medical point of view or from strength and conditioning, that's where we live, really.
Sure. Well, you mentioned technology, and you know, I've heard you speak before about some of the screening processes that you do, whether it be weekly screening or post game screening, and trying to get that information to your players. What is some of the screens that you use, you know, these diagnostics that you're using to kind of to show the athlete where they're at, show the coaches where they're at, and kind of get that immediate feedback and that immediate ability to address the situation?
Yeah, so from a post-game screen, it's very much your clinical, your medical screen. We do you know, various groin squeezes. We do, you know, we're fortunate enough to have a Nord board, so we'll isometric test them rather than as an actual Nordic lure. We'll just do a an isometric hamstring test, sure, as if it's the bottom of the Nordic, and just hold at the bottom, you know, for 5 seconds. And that's, you know, whether that gives us any more than a normal Nordic, we're still finding out, but that's okay. We will work that out. We'll jump them midweek. And I guess, you know, that's the thing with what we do is, you know, we will regularly mid-thigh pull, from a strength performance point of view. And we'll do that as just, you know, instead of your first set of back squats on a Wednesday, you'll do mid-thigh pull. Mm-hmm. And if we need to get two sets, we get two sets. You know, there's no issue there. But we try and tease that into our sessions as much as possible. You know, and I guess it's all part of the, you know, we all bring our different skills and our different information to the melting pot, which we deal with. And a lot of it's reflective of the output from the game previous.
Right.
But then also it ties into what we need to then do to make sure that they're ready for the week ahead. Whether that's, you know, they've really smashed it in the game, and they need to have a little bit of a lower week to make sure we don't overcook them, you know, from an acute chronic point of view, which is obviously the buzzwords at the moment. But you know, there's also and what, you know, Tim and what everybody else would say is that, you know, there's also the case where, well, what if they're, you know, it's a wet, rainy day, low scoring, not as much output. Well, then that means during the week we've got an opportunity, or we should be taking that opportunity to make sure that we keep our fitness levels right up. And that goes from the strength room right down to, you know, out on the field,
right,
when we're doing our drills during the week. So yeah, there's a lot of those, you know, that it's building that information profile for each player and for what we need. And again, a lot of what we do is reflective of what they've just done. Then it also gives you an opportunity to maybe, you know, see those windows of opportunity to make some gains as well.
Sure. How do you, you know, obviously you got an educated group and you got you got some professional players there, you know, but how do you keep the external, you know, sleep, nutrition, you know, all the things that can affect that power output, or, you know, that can affect, mm-hmm, or skew those results. How do you let that be? How do you prevent that from becoming a factor, you know, with dictating your programming? I mean, if somebody's not living right off the field, you don't want to either regress the programming because of that, or, you know, or alter what you're trying to do too much.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's the, you know, whether you use the analogy of the big rocks, you know, and you know, I don't sit here and program into the small hours of the morning or get up early and do things for some dickhead to have not slept the night before, excuse my French, but right, you know, that's the type of, you know, and the boys know that, you know, they you know, you can, there's a lot of accountability within the group, from a nutrition point of view in particular. You know, they all know how they should be eating. We keep a real close eye on the output of that. So, you know, whether it's through skin folds or DEXA scans or whatever, you know, we will regularly keep on top of them. And in being in such a running based sport, you know, a few kilos either way can make such a difference. And they understand that as well. And that's even just from an injury point of view. If you put on 2-3 kilos plus you've got to carry that for an extra 16 Ks, you know, that adds up, whether it's through, right, your hips and your groins or your hamstrings or calves or whatever, you know, like that, or you're just not as good. And
right,
we live in a world, unfortunately, or fortunately, that's just not acceptable. So, you know, they have to be on top of things as best they can. And sure, there's loads of education. We get young kids that just know nothing.
Right.
But that adds another string to our bow, essentially, because you're dealing with guys that have been around for 10 years. And it's just like you're dealing with a pro team anywhere else in the world. It's, you know, it's the grisly stuff. They know the basics. But then you also get to cut your teeth with, you know, being the educator again, being the high school coach who's dealing with the 18-year-old kid or 17-18-year-old kid who's never lived away from home, never done anything. So you've got this wide range of players that you have to deal with, and that you know, that keeps it exciting for us and challenging, because you do have to keep that skill set. You can't just, you know, be the guy that comes in and screams and makes them lift heavy or makes them work hard. It's all about being able to nurture the guys in some sessions, but then also be able to smash them as well. So
it is
a cliche answer, but there's a lot of accountability across the group. You know, if someone does something wrong, it's, well, why did your housemate let you do that? You know,
right.
Why are you letting him do that? You know, why aren't you putting him to bed, or why is he staying up whenever he should be, getting some sleep? Or, you know, the guys that sleep in but live together, so one guy's there on time but the other guy isn't, why didn't you wake the other guy up and give him breakfast? You know, it's those types of things. You know, it's a real interesting environment, but they do a great job of it.
Right. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think I've read before that, you know, you program in 4-week blocks, but then you cycle in kind of 2-week cycles, you know. Obviously, if you're in a strength block, you know, you've got your 4 weeks written out, you know, how are you manipulating in those 2-week cycles? Let's say, you know, 2 weeks in, you're not getting the output that you're looking for. What kind of modifications are you completely, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, or are you just making small tweaks to kind of see if there's something that can be done in those next 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's probably a mixture of both. Sometimes, and I'll make a big deal out of throwing the baby out. Right. You know, I'll tell them I had to rip that program up because you guys weren't good enough the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And really, you know, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. You know, that is as potent whenever you're someone like me who's never stopped smiling at them. You know, that makes a difference, right. and they really pull their finger out. And sometimes, you know, that's a little bit of bravado. It maybe just didn't work.
Right.
But I guess that, you know, the small modifications happen all the time. So, you know, I like to keep, you know, the exercise stream might be the same, but the choices that we make, whether we're trying to do more of a skill based lift where we're, you know, looking at your sort of, you know, the stuff you see on YouTube, you know, you see the Franz Bosch type work, and we maybe just keep recycling through that because it's more of a motor learning environment we're trying to get rather than a physiological output, which is, you know, your back squats, your deadlifts, your RDLs, your Nordics, that type, of, you know, bench press. You know, that's where we're really just trying to get big,
right,
you know, mechanical gains. Whereas when we're trying to be a little bit finessey and we're trying to get more of the myelin coating our movement patterns, we will continually keep changing them just to keep that variability alive. Yeah. And absolutely, there's repetition within it, but we're just trying to change the goalposts slightly, so we're continually challenging and reaching for those movement goals. And trying to appease a few schools of thought with one program, so that the continual changes are really good. And even just from a practical point of view, whenever, you know, there's 2 weeks means you've at least had 2 games played, and you know what it's like in a collision based sport. There's always going to be modifications made, and I'd rather have control of those and have a little bit of thought into what we're doing rather than just letting it go. So, you know, whatever the injury happens to be, you know, we'll always try and get around it. And around it means, you know, still being strong, lifting as best we can within that pattern. But, you know, we just have to make those changes on the spot. You know, whether it's we just change the amplitude, you know, so we're going from a full back squat, we're going to quarter squats, but they know that they have to load the crap out of it. And, you know, they know it's an extra 40% on their 1RM before we even get somewhere.
Right,
sexy for them to get those gains, and you know they enjoy that as well. As you know, everyone likes to, you know, see the bar bend and bounce around a bit. You know, like that makes them feel good as well, even when they're a little bit sore. You know, that's been a big in season goal for us.
You know, you're coming off of what we would probably call a reset period not too long ago. You know, before preseason started, where you know they got some off time. Or you have some different periods throughout the year where, you know, they need to get away a little bit, or it's a downtime or an unload time. What is there anything that you're doing that you would say is unique with your reset periods for your athletes? I mean, everybody talks again about, you know, sleeping right, eating right, unloading, you know, doing those types of things. But is there anything that you feel like is a difference maker?
I don't want to be just big-headed to say that there's any difference makers, but I think it's doing the simple things and just being, you know, as I said before, but you know, we've got a roadmap that we're on, and you know, we've got this time off and the time away from the club. So to be honest, as long as they're coming back in good shape, I'm not, you know, we've, you know, whether they're doing, you know, any sessions they want, you know, they can go and have fun, go have, you know, when you go back home, train with your mates, do what you want. But as, you know, we're not looking for those big gains to be made. It's different to the NFL or college or any of the American sports where we could actually get a lot of time with our guys in preseason. Right. So, you know, as long as they're, I talk about it being a reset. So the one thing we'll be really hard on is coming back with niggly injuries. So stupid stuff, you know.
Right.
I went bench pressed with my mates and I just went too heavy. Well, that's your fault, you idiots. You know, whereas if you're coming back, and I don't care if you're necessarily, you know, massive improvements.
Right.
You know, there's always those years that people bump up, you know. But and again, you know, just by being a bit cerebral about it, a bit calm about it, it's actually ended up, you know, we're getting, you know, and really excited about the gains that we make per year. You know, so our guys are coming back this year, you know, our mid-thigh pull scores from day one are, you know, 13-14% greater across our squad than they were that time last year. You know, we're just making those, you know, it's sort of about slow drip processes, just making those gains over the long term. That's the true gains, rather than, you know, being this hero that comes back and does a 4-week program and they all get stronger. Well, they were going to do that anyway. But if we're starting at a better block, and you know, just, you know, we're going to smack, you know, because we have a long time with them, it's hard.
Right.
It's a grind. So, you know, make sure you water ski as much as you want beforehand.
Yeah.
Make sure you go and swing off a tree and, you know, have fun. Go out, do all sorts of things. But make sure you're ready when you come back. Don't
right.
be regretting, you know, because you're going to be working. You're going to be asleep by 8 o'clock every night. You're going to be in the grind from day one. So
sure.
you've got to make sure you get that out of your system. And I think from a mental refresh point of view, it makes you a better human if you're out there. You're a bit more, you've a bit more diverse experiences in life and that side of things. So we expect them to travel, expect them to do some cool stuff, and you know. It's what makes them good humans,
right?
And that's what we want as well. So
yeah, I agree.
Trying to balance everything up, but understanding that, you know, we do have time with them when they come back. So you know, we don't compromise on baseline strength levels, on baseline movement competency. And as long as they're coming back like that, then we can make some big gains once they get back in with us.
Yeah, sure. Well, man, I know you got to get going to work here. We always end the show with some resources. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
I think you know, and again, I've got through without swearing too much. It's probably that no dickhead rule. You don't want to be that guy. That's probably the biggest thing for me. If you get that right, and the players and the coaches know that, then you can do pretty much anything you want, and that's when your technical skills can really come out. So it's probably, you know, the biggest piece of advice. You know, obviously, you know, I've talked about my mistakes and things that I've made, but I think that, you know, being a really good human, you just can't trump that. You just
right.
can't.
No, I agree with you 100%. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
Yeah, so book, I'm maybe jumping on the bandwagon a little bit at the moment, but, you know, there's Ryan Holiday's Obstacle is the Way. It's probably the book that really stood out in the last 6 months for me. It changed. I mean, I listened to it on the way into work, and it changed my mindset going into work. So it's pretty powerful from that point of view. Another book that I've recently just finished is by Damien Hughes, which is the 5 Steps to a Winning Mindset, which is from a communicator point of view and from a coaching point of view, it made a difference to me. You know, some really good stories about Sir Alex Ferguson from Manchester United, and lots of boxing stories in there as well.
Mm.
Some really, really interesting stories. So it's more about how sport influences business. You know, us sporty people we don't mind reading a business book to think that we're doing some leadership work, but
right.
I think we forget that actually sport has an lot to offer everyone else in the world as well. So I think that that's a real nice take on it. I mean, it's a real must-read book.
That's what makes sport great. I agree with you 100%. What about a website and an app?
Website, I'll cheat a little bit, and I'll go with Feedly. So Feedly ties all your favorite websites together. So it's like the old RSS reader or right. Google Reader before it got binned. But it's a really it's been really nice for me. Just so rather than having to click through my favorites, it's just all there in one spot, which has been really good. And the app, I use Evernote every day, whether it's on my computer or on my phone, just keeps notes, you know, ideas when you're on the way into work, or you know, just how you're going to set up the next programs or presentations, or you know, right. all those types of things, your to-do lists, that sort of stuff. And then I've recently got into Trello a little bit. It looks exciting. I'm not quite sure how I can use it slickly yet, but from a project management point of view, and you know, I guess that's, you know, it is essentially what we are right. as well. So I think it's got a little bit of value. I'm just sort of finding my feet with it. That might be something that people might want to explore a little bit too.
Absolutely. Trello is my number one app. I absolutely love it. You got to use it. You got to use it in conjunction with Robert Allen's Getting Things Done system.
Yeah.
And I did a video on that. So anybody listening, you know, go to YouTube and just search my name and Trello, and it should pop up on how I use it. But in terms of exactly what you're saying, content management, with your staff and with a program, I think it's a godsend for sure. But awesome. Well, man, I know you got to get going. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with everybody. I know everybody will get a ton out of this, and just appreciate you for the way you're doing, you're going about this business and being able to share so freely. And obviously you guys are a fantastic program and doing it the right way. And for people to be able to get a glimpse of that, it's just fantastic. So thanks so much, man.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. I really do. I'm very honored to be a part of the distinguished list of the guys that have been on this. It's been awesome.
Appreciate that.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.